Hello, and welcome to the Love Mia Vita podcast. I'm Jerry DiPiano, CEO of FemPharma. Thank you for joining me as we discuss all things women's health and wellness. Please note that this information is simply that. It's information to help you to think through your decisions. Please consult your medical practitioner to discuss your personal situation. Thank you. Welcome again to the Love Mia Vita podcast, where we try to answer your questions on women's health care and women's wellness. Today, we're going to do a slight twist in our usual routine where we interview guests. Today, we've actually taken your questions. Yes, you are not alone. FemPharma pays attention to its clients and to women who are curious about women's health and women's wellness. And so we've taken your questions very seriously, and we have asked our experts to weigh in on some of the more commonly asked questions, which is what I'm going to do today. So stay tuned for some questions that are commonly asked by women just like you. Now, the first question is a rather interesting question, and it involves vaginal tearing. What is vaginal tearing? Well, you might have noticed that when you insert a tampon, if you are of reproductive age and you're still using tampons, that when you insert a tampon, you may experience a slight pain. Maybe it burns. Maybe there's a slight itch. And that is because even the simple act of inserting a tampon can cause some slight vaginal tearing. The other more common tearing that occurs may occur during insertive intercourse. So that can occur with a penis, or it can occur if you are inserting a toy. And if you are, that probably means that there isn't sufficient lubrication. So in that case, you probably need to consider using a personal lubricant and vaginal moisturizer. But vaginal tears can generally heal on their own. And so what you should pay attention to is keeping the area clean, which does not mean using soaps or deodorants or perfumes, but rather keep the area clean with warm water. And if you detect any odor or if you observe any discharge that is unusual, you want to see a healthcare practitioner. Again, we are not giving medical advice here, but we have consulted our experts, and this is generally what they recommend for women who are experiencing vaginal tearing. Again, there are some common things to look out for. So itching, burning, bleeding or spotting, swelling or bruising. You may, if you do not address this problem, you may continue to experience pain during intercourse or insertion into your vagina. And if that is the case, you want to be sure to address that. And then you want to seek medical attention if that doesn't resolve itself. So, one of the ways to see if things are getting worse is to take out a mirror in a quiet place where you're not interrupted by children or other individuals and do a self-examination. And if you see something that looks unusual, a sore, a white spot, something that looks like it is more serious than a small tear, then you, again, want to see a healthcare practitioner. So that was the first question. Now we have another question from one of our fans, and the question is around perimenopause. 47 years old tends to be one of the first years that women tend to see perimenopausal symptoms. What are those symptoms? Well, some menstrual irregularities. You may not see your menstrual period show up when it typically is supposed to show up. If it's a regular menstrual period that is 28 or 30 days or 35 days, and all of a sudden it is elongated, so maybe you don't see your menstrual cycle for 45 days. It could be that you see it more frequently. You could notice that bleeding tends to be heavier or more scanty than it was in the past. So there are some, that's one sign. Then there's painful intercourse. So if you are having intercourse, you may notice that you're experiencing some pain, and that can be from vaginal dryness or from narrowing of the vaginal canal. And then we have the typical hot flash. So women may describe feeling like they're waking up in a bed of sweat. So they may call it a flash, or they may call it night sweats. So that is another sign. Then there are mood swings. So they may be exacerbated if you're a woman who has been diagnosed with a mood disorder like premenstrual dysphoric disorder, where with hormonal fluctuation, you tend to see an exacerbation of symptoms. So mood swings. So these are some of the symptoms that you might begin to experience when you are in your 40s, with 47 being around the median age for some of these perimenopausal symptoms, but not necessarily. So some women will complain of menopausal or perimenopausal symptoms when they are in their 30s. If you feel that you are experiencing either some of the genitourinary symptoms, frequency, urgency, burning, painful intercourse, you may want to consult your healthcare practitioner. Keep a diary so that you're prepared to discuss when these symptoms arise and if they are cyclical, which means that they are typically around your menstrual cycle, or if they tend to be persistent. Doesn't matter whether you are in your menstrual cycle or not, but those are some of the things that you may want to pay attention to and bring that to your next appointment with your gynecologist or your primary care practitioner if you are seeing a primary care practitioner. So those are some of the symptoms that you may begin experiencing if you are in perimenopause. We should be paying attention to all of these hormonal shifts, even in our 30s. So that's just really good advice from our experts. The next question is really for someone who is very physically active. And this expertise or the answer comes from an expert who is involved in physiology and kinesiology and who does have credentials in this area. The question that she answered was, how do you manage when you're on your period, especially with strength training and maybe even in high intensity workouts? So if you are experiencing or you on your menstrual cycle, you may want to modify intensity based upon how you feel. So if you don't have energy, focus on lighter weights, rest between sets, and even body weight movements. Heavy weights can wait for the days when you're not on your cycle and when you feel stronger. Do a shorter session. These things seem pretty obvious, but perhaps not. If you're typically doing an hour-long session, perhaps you want to break it into 15 or 30-minute sessions, maybe 15 minutes in the morning, 15 minutes later in the day, but give yourself some grace. Incorporate mobility and core work. If the lifting feels as though it's too much, swap in some mobility exercises or do some core-focused exercises. The bottom line is showing yourself some grace by also fueling and helping your body to recover. So if you're not feeling drained, ensuring that you're getting enough protein, staying hydrating, and absolutely prioritizing your sleep. So important. Hot flashes. So we get this question a lot. Is the trouble sleeping associated with perimenopause and menopause only due to hot flashes and night sweats? And here's the answer. Menopause and perimenopause, which is perimenopause as we described earlier, the years leading up to menopause, are associated with sleep problems. So any of those of you that are either going through this or have gone through this may appreciate that if you're having a hot flash, that means you want to kick off the covers and turn down the heat if it's winter, or turn up the air conditioning. if the weather is warm outside. But either way, it can feel pretty overwhelming, and so that can be very disruptive to your sleep habits. But even if you don't have hot flashes, we know that there are hormonal fluctuations. That starts to happen in your mid-30s. Remember earlier, I had mentioned that you want to keep on top of these symptoms even when you're in your 30s. So try to keep a diary. Doesn't have to be anything fancy, just write it down in a notebook. When the hormones begin to drop in your mid to late 30s and through your 40s, you can also begin to experience sleep disturbances. And this is because both estradiol, which is our main type of estrogen, and progesterone do impact sleep. And they impact sleep in the following ways. Estradiol controls the circadian rhythm, which dictates our sleep cycle. That's number one. Next, progesterone enhances the action of the brain neurotransmitter called GABA, gamma aminobutyric acid, and that rests the mind. Now, some women may want to consider sleep medications, prescription sleep medications. Please consult your physician. As you know, these can be habit forming, and it may be good in that case, if you have issues with sleep, to seek a therapist for some cognitive behavioral therapy. So that is one option. And the other option that our expert has suggested is to consider things like herbs, lemon balm, the amino acid L-theanine, and these are products that are over the counter, so they are readily accessible and they are not habit forming. So those are other options for you to consider. Now, the next question is about a woman who has something called Turner's syndrome. She states, I'm 29. I was born with Turner's syndrome, and I'm currently going through premature ovarian failure due to my Turner syndrome messing up my reproductive system. And last week, I was formally diagnosed with post-menopause about 2 months ago. So that's unfortunate that she is going through this and hasn't had the support of her healthcare practitioner. And yes, it's 30 is very early to go through menopause. And some women with other types of conditions may experience menopause prematurely. I mean, they may be experiencing menopausal symptoms because they're on therapy, either for something like endometriosis or for a malignancy, or they may have something like Turner syndrome. This woman has been using hormones that are helping. And the suggestion from our medical advisor is to have your doctor tweak the hormones. So we always say the lowest effective dose, but again, in consultation with your healthcare practitioner. With Turner syndrome, you can be predisposed to things like diabetes, weight gain, and loss of muscle mass. So, three suggestions from our medical advisor: eat well, avoid processed foods, add fiber to your diet, make sure you're getting between 20 and 25 grams of fiber each day, consider weight training to rebuild your muscle, and take a creatine supplement of between 3 and 5 grams a day, which may help to build muscle. And by the way, this is all in consultation with a dietitian, a nutritionist, and a person that has credentials in personal training. So these are some of the suggestions that our healthcare practitioners, our medical advisory team would suggest. So that's yet one more question for you. Now, for those of you that are concerned, that have questions, and you don't feel that your healthcare practitioners are addressing these adequately, we always recommend that you consult other resources. And if you do have a question and you'd like to ask one of our experts, you may do so by sending us an email at miavita@femfarma.com. That's miavita, MIAVITA, at femfarma.com. We will send your question to our medical advisory team, and we will, in due course, provide a response. We hope to be able to do this on a regular basis, and we look forward to hearing from you and to continue to provide some of the answers that you need to help you in your wellness journey. Be well. Thank you for joining us on the Love Mia Vita podcast. Love Mia Vita means love my life, and that is a mantra we should all live by. Please like and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts, and check out our website at femfarma.com. Remember to live well and love Mia Vita.